Hi, this is David Shade, and today I am very honored to be speaking with Marnie. Hi, Marnie, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Now, you and I had a discussion a few weeks ago about this interesting company that you run. It's called thewinggirlmethod.com, where you actually take men out into the field and teach them how to interact with women. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun for me, and it's also a lot of fun for my clients. It's just, it's the best advice that you can get. It's on-site instant feedback from women about how you're being perceived by other females, and at the same time, we pick up women for you. I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. Well, we had a lot of fun with that interview.
Yes, we did.
And I asked you if you would be willing to record a conversation with me where we do not talk about pickup, where we actually talk about sexuality in the context of an ongoing relationship. And I really appreciate you being a good sport and talking about this with me today.
Oh, well, I'm more than happy. I think it's a very important conversation. So, and a conversation that more people should be having and be comfortable with. So I'm very happy to talk to you about this.
So you're comfortable with sexuality?
Yes, very.
How did that come about?
A lot of work. When I was younger, my friends and people that I knew used to call me the kissing bandit because I was a huge prude. I was uncomfortable sexually. I only kissed people and did nothing else. And I didn't know why that was or why I was uncomfortable or why I didn't trust people to touch me more. So when I went backpacking when I was about 18 or 19 years old, I met a guy, and I ended up being very intimate with him and enjoying every second of it. And the reason I enjoyed it was because the first time that we made out, he said to me, "Listen, I only want to do what you want to do. If you're uncomfortable, you pat me on the hand, and I'll stop." And I didn't have to pat him on the hand at all. It made me feel very in control of my sexuality, and as if I had a choice. And as a younger female, you don't always feel like you have that option. So for me, what I did, instead of giving in to whatever anybody else wanted to do sexually, I completely withheld and wanted to be strong and in control. So for me, when I was younger, before this experience, I would put complete boundaries up and say, "You are not able to touch me unless this, 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 and this all fall into place." And as soon as I met this guy when I was backpacking, all of those rules sort of flew away because I was finally getting to choose my own sexuality. And from that point, I became a lot more comfortable. I wanted to experiment. I wanted to try things. I was more vocal about what I wanted to see and what I wanted to do, which I think is very important for a lot of women, because you and I talked about it the other day, and for women, a lot of the discomfort with sexuality, it's in our heads. It's not part of our body. It's not because our body's unable to have an orgasm or to experience pleasure, but it's because our heads stop us and don't give us this freedom to be completely comfortable with sex. So from that point on, I've continued to open up my mind to sexuality. And I haven't done crazy things and, you know, had huge orgies with people, but I've experimented with becoming more comfortable with me sexually, with my partners that I'm in a relationship with, so that sex in general is a much more comfortable experience for me and enjoyable.
Now, you said that women, in their heads, they limit themselves. What's going on in their heads that they limit themselves?
It can be a million things. It's thinking, does my body look fat when I turn this way? It's thinking, do I smell? Am I doing this right? Is he enjoying it? There's a million things, same thing that goes on in a man's head, that can stop you from actually enjoying the sexual experience. And I do think that me being with partners for a long period of time has allowed me to become more comfortable sexually, because I can ask them questions about what they want, about what I want, about what feels good to them. I can tell them what feels good to me. But those are the things that are going on inside of a woman's head. It's mainly concern, especially when you're younger, and that goes away as you gain more confidence sexually and gain more experience.
What did the man do so that you were less self-conscious and more able to flow with it?
The man that I met when I was backpacking or the man that I'm seeing now?
The men in your past. What have they done that has helped you with your self-consciousness?
I think it's really been about me helping me with my self-consciousness, but the other men have not put pressure on me, have, you know, asked me what I'm comfortable with, have said to me, you know, what feels good for you? What do you want? What would you like? Let's talk about this openly. It's their ability to also handle tension if I'm not comfortable with sexual things and help me get through that instead of putting added pressure on me, making me feel uncomfortable, or getting defensive, thinking that I don't want to do something sexually because I don't want to do it with them. It's really about everything that I teach my men. It's about being calm, cool, direct, comfortable, and confident. And that applies to every area, sexually, in relationships, in dating, in just normal attraction. A man who can...
Okay, so the men reassured you.
Yep.
And they were calm, cool, collected, and confident. And you and I talked a few weeks ago about how that works in pickup. But how does that work in the bedroom?
Exactly the same way. Women can feel other people's energy. That's why women are said to have a sixth sense. That is our sixth sense. We can feel what someone else is feeling without the other person verbalizing it. So if a man is that character that you just described and I described earlier, then he's going to put that energy on me as well, which will make me feel more relaxed. But if the man is tense, if he's not expressing something that he wants to express, if he's angry, if he's bitter, if he's self-conscious, I can feel that too, and that energy is the death of sex. If you don't allow things to be said out loud, especially in the bedroom, then ultimately I believe that you're ruining sex for both people. It's not just ruining it for yourself.
Okay, so the energy can ruin the situation. What kind of energy ruins the situation?
Nervous energy, which is fine. But I think it's just unspoken energy. So for me, with my partners, I like when they tell me what they want. I like when, you know, he asks me what I want as well. And we try things together and he makes me feel safe. And he can be nervous or awkward about it, but it's when you start holding in those emotions and don't express them that it becomes uncomfortable. Because then for me, if I can sense something in my partner, then I don't think it's an issue with him. I always turn it to myself. As a woman and as people in general, we can become self-conscious very easily. So in the beginning when I was younger, if a man was acting a certain way and I felt an energy that was probably something going on in his own head, I always turned to myself. I became very conscious of my body, how my body was angled, how my body was positioned. If there was fat, you know, anything, any smell, whatever it was, it made me self-conscious and it took sexuality away from my body and into my head and then made it less enjoyable. It made it harder to orgasm. It made it harder for me to be free with my body. But as time goes on and I learn more about my partner and he learns more about me sexually, our sex is definitely changing and evolving and becoming much more free and much more comfortable. And we're experimenting with new things. And I'm even experimenting with a different level of comfort during sex where I don't care about the way that my body is positioned or if it looks awkward or if I have hair on my legs or if I smell or whatever it is. Those things have been eliminated. Mainly because of the amount of time that we've been together, but also because my partner has never put out an energy that would make me feel uncomfortable. He's always provided me with a safe and secure place to experiment, to have fun, to enjoy myself sexually. And he's also done the same. We've worked together to have this sexual chemistry.
Okay, so when a man is nervous with a woman, yes, he'll end up being self-conscious, so he has to be calm, cool, collected, and confident. Is that a matter of being comfortable with sexuality?
Is that, they kind of go hand in hand. The thing is that if you are a man who's uncomfortable in a sexual situation, there's nothing wrong with exposing that information and just say, you know, I want to make this experience as enjoyable for both of us. I want to be calm. I want you to be calm. I want you to be sexual. I want you to feel free to do anything. And I want to experience the same thing with you. I am a little bit nervous right now trying this out. You don't have to be a huge alpha male who's so confident with sex and so comfortable with everything. But it's number one, the ability to be vulnerable during sex. And number two, the ability to be honest and just not being a sap and saying, oh, I'm really scared of having sex with you and I don't know if I'm pleasuring you properly. But it's taking it to the next level and saying, listen, I'm kind of nervous right now. I want to give you great pleasure and I want you to give me great pleasure. So let's work on this together. Does that make sense?
Oh, it absolutely does. Okay. Now, you mentioned that you will tell your man what you want. I'm curious, what did you tell your man that you want?
Well, that's changed over time. In the very beginning, I didn't want to experiment with a lot of things. So I would say, I want to try doing this. Can you try touching my body here at the same time? I want you to talk dirty to me. I want you to ask me more questions about sexuality. I want to become more comfortable speaking dirty to you. Can you say something and I'll copy whatever it is that you want me to say or whatever it is that you say. It's things like that where I've been able to gain more trust in my partner, mainly because he didn't make me feel uncomfortable when I said that I wanted to do things. I did have this one boyfriend. I think I told you about this. When I was younger, I had my experience backpacking and I was very comfortable sexually. And I came back and I had a new boyfriend and I kept saying, you know, what do you like? What do you want? What do you want me to do to you? Do you like this? Do you like that? You know, it wasn't over and over again, like I just said it right now, but I was inquisitive about his sexual experience and he would get so tense and so closed off. And I fought it for a long time to not become self-conscious because of that behavior, because I realized it was probably something that had to do with him and not with me. And then one time I asked and he snapped at me and said, stop asking me that. I don't know what I want. I have no idea what I want. And it makes me really uncomfortable when you say that to me.
Okay.
And that freaked me out. And, you know, I understood that was something coming from within.
A big complaint that women have is that men are not comfortable with their own sexuality and not comfortable with the woman's sexuality.
Exactly. A lot of men are not. A lot of men, because a lot of men know that they want to have sex, they want to ejaculate, and that's all that they know. And they don't know that there can be a heightened level of sex where it's not just a penis and a vagina. You know, there's a lot more to sex, and sex can totally be heightened, and the experience can be, well, you know, a much, I don't want to use the word magical, but it can be a much more intense and satisfying situation if you allow yourself to open up to other options in sexuality.
All right. When I asked you, what do you tell the man that you like? One thing you mentioned is you want him to talk dirty to you.
I didn't at first. I felt very awkward with that in the very beginning. And now it's one of the things that assist me in having a really great orgasm because I became more comfortable with my partner's sexuality. I did exactly what that guy in the past had done to me. I was closed off to sexuality. So when somebody else is more sexual than I was, I fought against it. It made me uncomfortable. But now I've been with that partner for 5 years now, and I'm very open to talking dirty. And I talk dirty. Not extremely dirty like I've heard other people speak, but with a level that I'm very comfortable with that definitely enhances the experience.
All right, so it sounds like it's the mental aspects of dirty talk that enhances the sexuality.
Yeah, because before I was very locked down on sexuality and closed off to it. So therefore, I wasn't fantasizing and I wasn't able to visualize things sexually because it made me uncomfortable in my past. And now, when I am having sex with my partner and he starts talking dirty, it turns me on and it makes me visualize things, makes me expand my fantasies, it calms me down, I get involved in the dirty talk, and it's much more enjoyable.
Absolutely. Now, in your relationships in the past, at some point in the relationship, you decided, yeah, okay, you're going to get sexual with the guy. When did that happen and how did that happen?
In my past relationships, it's been different every single time. Well, my first relationship, I was a virgin, so I put that off for a very, very long time. But I always, again, when you're a teenager, you know, a lot of guys don't really focus so much on making the girl comfortable. They focus on, oh, I want to have sex right now. That's what I want. I want sex. And so I constantly felt that pressure energy being thrown towards me, which made me not want it. I felt pressure for it. I didn't feel comfortable. But then we eventually ended up having sex when we were in Mexico together. And we had a 3-month break from our relationship. And there was no pressure to have sex. We were just enjoying each other. And that allowed me to choose when I wanted to be sexual and I wanted to give away my virginity. And then the second person that I slept with, it was very similar. The situation I described when I was in Australia, when I was backpacking, he allowed me to choose my sexuality. He was comfortable. I felt absolutely no pressure whatsoever. And so I got to choose when to be sexual, which made it a much more enjoyable experience for me and a more enjoyable experience for him. Because I understand what it's like to always want sex and somebody else not wanting to give it back to you. It creates a horrible dynamic between two people. I didn't feel that coming from him, so it allowed me to be more comfortable having sex sooner. And then I would say it's been the same with every partner after him and anybody that I slept with. If I felt pressured to have sex, I didn't want to have sex. I wasn't turned on. It made me feel uncomfortable. It made me feel awkward. And it made me feel used. So I take ownership of when I want to allow myself to be free and to have sex with somebody. And I am very careful with who I choose to be my partners. As a woman, if you have a high number, a lot of people look down on that. And I don't allow that to affect me, but I myself also don't want to have a high number of sexual partners. I'm not overly sexual that way. Sex is not my driving force. So I don't want to have sex with a lot of people. I want to consistently have sex with one partner and allow our sex to become greater.
Well, a friend of mine, Chip Rowland, once said, a man wants to fuck 100 different women, but a woman wants one man that she can fuck 100 different ways.
Yes, I like that a lot. That's exactly what it is.
Is it that you can experience anything that you've wanted to experience sexually, but you can do it with your trusted man?
Yeah, and you can do it in a safe arena, basically. You're doing it in a safe place. You're free of STDs, hopefully. You won't be used. You won't be laughed at after. You won't be treated like a piece of meat. That's basically what my fears are. I was always friends with guys. I always saw how guys treated girls sexually and talked about them after. And I never wanted to be one of those girls who was used and laughed at and talked about after. I never wanted to be that girl. And that's probably where my discomfort with sex stemmed from in the very beginning. Just the fact that I got to hear the other side speak so often. Because when I would talk to my girlfriends and they would talk about fooling around with somebody or having sex with someone, it was a much nicer conversation than the way that the guys talked about it. So the things that I do want to experience are just complete freedom and trust with a partner where I can feel comfortable. Comfortable to do whatever I want. Comfortable to try a million different positions. Comfortable to try things that in the past I may have thought were dirty and feel safe and secure that I wasn't being viewed as somebody who was a dirty whore. That's really what it comes down to. It's nice to have a sexual partner that you trust and you believe will not use your behavior against you.
All right. So you know that your behavior will not be used against you, which means that you can truly open up and really get slutty with your man. Now, I'm interested. You have talked to other women about their sexual activities, and you've talked to other men about their sexual activities, but you said those two conversations are very different. How are they very different?
Well, a lot of guys, when we were younger, the way that they talk about sex, it is very vanilla, the way they talk about sex. Like, okay, I bent the girl over, we had sex, up against a wall, boom, done, end of conversation. Or they would talk about, ugh, and she smelled disgusting, and she was, oh, I can't believe I had sex with that girl, she was so slutty, whatever, we just did it in the bathroom of the club, like, I'm never going to talk to this girl again. When I would talk to my female friends, they would tell me about every single move that happened. They say, okay, so we started and we had dinner here. I ordered this. He ordered that. Then he said this to me, and then I said that to him, and then he slid his arm across the table and tickled the side of my arm. And it was a much more detailed experience of a sexual encounter. And then they'll go on and give crazy details about what they did with that person, and they'll own every single one of those actions and say, you know, I did this, then I did that, then he did this, and he did that. It's just much more detailed.
Now, what do you mean that she took ownership of what she did?
By saying that she was happy with her experience. I don't really have a lot of women who afterwards don't position a sexual experience in a way where they're still in control. I don't think, like, even when I would have girls when I was younger who would tell me about guys that would push their head down to give them a blowjob, they still took ownership of that. They still were like, yeah, then he pushed my head down, and then, but I liked that. I thought that was really good and just really sexual. But I knew a lot of guys who did that to girls, and most of those girls they would talk about were always fighting it when they pushed their head down. So it was an interesting experience for me to hear both sides.
Well, that's a demonstration of dominance for the man.
Right.
All right.
Definitely.
So you're saying that some girls like that and some don't?
Well, I don't think I've ever liked that. You know, even if it is for my partner, I still don't like when somebody shoves my head down and I'm not getting to make that choice. And I can always hear it and see it in my friend's eyes when they talk about liking it. And I know that it's not true. Their voice changes. You can tell when they're not speaking the truth. I don't think most women like their head being shoved down, unless that's part of their sexual experience with that person where they do that to one another. But most girls I know don't like to have their head shoved down. I don't like it from my partner of 5 years.
Well, yeah, of course, women don't want their head pushed down. They don't like that. But I'm talking about general demonstrations of male dominance, like he restrains her hands, that kind of thing.
Again, all those things are totally fine. Again, if the woman is getting to choose that. If it's forced upon her, or fine, I'll speak for myself. If it's forced upon me to have my hands tied, I don't like it. I don't like being blindfolded without my choice of being blindfolded, or without a discussion before that we're going to live out a fantasy of complete, you know, where a man wants to be dominant. I want to be a part of that decision. I don't want it to be forced on me.
All right, but is it exciting for women to be dominated by her man in the bedroom if it is her decision to go along with it?
Oh, yes, definitely. It's very exciting. I love when my partner picks me up and throws me down and, like, tells me to roll over and go into a different position or just, like, yeah, if he can lift me up and put me up against a wall, I love that. I absolutely love that. But as long as I'm opting into the experience as well.
So all the time, even though he's telling you what to do, you continue to use the word control in that you're still in. All right, you use the word ownership. Now, there's an old saying that women need to take ownership of their own orgasms. Is this true?
Yes, and it's actually what I just talked about before. If they're taking ownership of their own orgasms, it's because they're allowing their minds to be free. And that's a choice that we make for ourselves. If I allow my brain to be clouded during sex, I don't get to enjoy my orgasm the same way. If I can calm down, if I can relax, if I can try and push out all insecure feelings that I'm having, I can have a fantastic orgasm.
You know, that is so very true. And that's what I talk about a lot, that women are not responsible for making the orgasm happen, but they absolutely are responsible for not sabotaging it.
And yes, exactly.
Basically, what you said is in total agreement with that. By taking ownership, she doesn't cloud her mind with sabotaging thoughts.
Exactly.
All right. Fabulous. I want to discuss, besides what we have already discussed, in a relationship, I'm interested in what women respond to sexually. And if you were to tell a man how to be a good lover and tell him what women respond to sexually, what advice would you give him?
To make sure that the sexual experience is a choice between two people and that the woman feels safe and secure to do and say anything that she wants. But to also be sure to lead her. And you can say to a woman, you know, I would love it if we talk dirty. If you're not comfortable with that, I totally get that. But let's try it together. I'll say something, you say something after. It's taking the lead in situations, but still allowing the woman to have a choice. If you can do that, then you will be able to get a woman to do anything that you want. But if you say to a woman, I really want a blowjob in the back of this theater, and I want you to suck my balls and play with my anus at the same time, and, like, I really think that you should do this because all of my friends' girlfriends are doing this, that is the worst thing that you can say to a woman, because it doesn't allow her to make that choice and be a part of the sexual experience. It makes you feel like a whore. It makes you feel, but unless you've discussed in advance that you want that experience of feeling like a slut and feeling like a whore, and that you're comfortable with your partner saying those things, I think it's a bad tactic to be that forceful and uncaring to a woman that you're in a relationship with.
Okay, now I tell men that they should be in the lead in the bedroom when it comes to when it comes to dirty talk. I suggest to them, go ahead and start small and simply watch her and see how she responds.
Yeah, you can do that too. 100%, I agree with that.
Okay. I tend to suggest that they not ask for permission to do something, but instead to go ahead and do something small and see how she reacts.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say this is because if he asks her for permission to do something, that basically puts the responsibility for the act on her. But if he simply starts small and watches her carefully, he can assume all responsibility for what happens sexually, and then she can be completely uninhibited because it was not her responsibility.
Agree with that. Well, can you paint me a picture? Can you describe a scenario?
Oh, it might be dangerous.
Yeah. I want to hear what it is that you're talking about and how you would position that to a woman.
All right. So let's say that she's lying on her back, he's lying next to her. with his mouth close to her ear, he is lightly rubbing her clitoris. Let's say if it's the first time he's been with her sexually, he has to find out if she is even clitorally orgasmic. That's the first thing that's got to happen. And under his touch, he needs to know that she can have a clitoral orgasm as a result of his touch. So while he's touching her, he would say to her, "Ooh, how does that feel?"
Perfect, yeah.
The first way to start doing dirty talk is simply describe what's going on.
But that can make a lot of women uncomfortable. So how can a man tell if that makes a woman uncomfortable? How can he feel that?
How can he feel what?
If a woman is uncomfortable with dirty talk. Even starting slow by saying, you know, do you like that? Do you like when I play with your clit? Things like that. How, from I'm asking from a man's point of view, how can you feel if she is totally comfortable with that?
Oh, by her reaction to it. If the man says to the woman, ooh, does that feel good? And she moans, or she, oh, yes, or something like that. That's a good thing.
Okay, so that's her opting in.
That's her opting in.
Okay, I agree with you. That's exactly how it would be. Then what would a woman have to do for you to stop?
If she says, oh, I don't want you to talk during sex, I'd immediately dump her ass.
Well, the thing is that I actually don't know a lot of women who would say that. I feel a lot would just tense up and become uncomfortable with it, which is fine as long as it's not like horrible dirty talk.
Yeah, conversation after experience has to be handled carefully and in a different situation. Now, while he's rubbing her clitoris, while they're naked on the bed, and he says, how does that feel? And she moans or groans or sighs. That's a good thing.
That's a great thing.
All right. So you started out small, and you know that she will respond to that. And I have found that 99% of women absolutely love that. There is an extremely small percentage of women who say, I don't want you to talk during sex. That has very rarely happened to me. And, of course, they instantly get next. They got some kind of issue that I can't fix. They need to go see a psychiatrist to deal with issues in their past or something.
Right.
But really, if you start small, she's going to follow along. Then I would continue to escalate the dirty talk. Now, if it's the first time finding out if she's clitorally orgasmic, I might not do this. But if I'm getting an indication from her that she is on her way to having an orgasm, then I would say, I want you to tell me when you're getting close. I want you to say, David, I'm getting close. And when she gets to the oh God point, then she would say, David, I'm getting close. Now, this is very risky because I don't know yet if she can have a clitoral orgasm in front of me, but if it is appearing that she may, I will do that. And basically what this does is it gets her started on responsiveness. She must do what I tell her to do. She must say what I tell her to say. And she must say it in the exact words that I told her to say it. I'll be a little forgiving on some points, but typically the idea is compliance.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the first time with her, I just want to make sure that she has a clitoral orgasm. All right, let's say she does. Then I would hold her close. Oh, that was so beautiful, blah, 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 blah. Now, let's say it's the second time that we've been together, and I know she's going to have a clitoral orgasm. Then I'm going to work more and more on leading and more on compliance, which is going to build up the responsiveness. So, well, I'm rubbing her. I would say, yeah, baby, that feels so good. Oh, yes. And then I'd say, I want you to tell me three things. I want you to tell me, David, I'm getting close. I want you to say, David, I'm going to come. And I want you to say, David, I'm coming. When she gets to the oh, God point, she is supposed to say, David, I'm getting close. And then I would reinforce that. Oh, yeah, baby, that's so fucking hot. Okay, so there I introduced the F word, and I'll see how she responds to that. See, I'm taking a little step at a time. Oh, yeah, that's so fucking hot. And then I would repeat the second command. I want you to tell me when you're going to come. I want you to say, David, I'm going to come. And then when she feels that she's going to come, she would say, David, I'm going to come. And I said, oh, yeah, I want you to come so fucking hard for me. When you come, I want you to say, David, I'm coming, and I want you to come so fucking hard for me. And then she will say, David, I'm coming. At which point, I would start doing a whole bunch of other things, such as I would link my voice saying, come now, to her orgasm. So I would say, yeah, baby, come now, come now. That links my voice to her orgasm, which I can leverage later. And since I know she can have a clitoral orgasm, the next thing I'm going to do, well, yeah, that's all great, but the next thing I'm going to do, she must extend her clitoral orgasm. I want her to have extended clitoral orgasms. So I would say to her, oh, yeah, keep coming, baby. Keep coming even harder, even harder. And she must comply and continue to have her orgasm. And actually, this actually works very well. In the majority of cases, she will actually continue to keep coming. Every single time I am with her, I will push something just a little bit. I'll make her come a little harder. I'll make her come a little longer. And all the time, I am leading, and I am watching her very carefully that she is complying and following, and that it is exciting for her. And all of this does is builds responsiveness. So I took it a little step at a time. You know, I'm supposed to be interviewing you.
I know. But I will tell you, as a woman, I would respond to those things. Because everything there creates comfort. It creates an experience. It's sexual. It's hot. It works. Completely, especially for people who are in a relationship, and even for people who are having sex with for the first time. Again, it's allowing a woman to opt into an experience, and it's sharing that experience with her.
All right, I'm going to give you a little racier situation. Let's say this is the first time that a man and a woman has gone into the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's the third date. But she has decided, even before that she went out, that she will not have intercourse with him. But she would be interested in fooling around. And the women have told me that this is true. Even before they go out, they've already decided if they're going to fuck the guy or not.
Yeah.
So let's say on the third date, she's decided, well, she's not going to fuck the guy, but she is interested in playing around. And in doing so, she's going to get an idea if this guy even knows what he's doing in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. What I would do in the bedroom is I would take off as many clothes of hers as I could while driving her crazy with passion and making out and telling her how beautiful she is, blah, blah, blah. She gets all excited, you know, the clothes fly off. But there's going to be a point to where I go to take the pants off, and her pants will not come off. She'll say, no, my pants are not coming off. Well, what that tells me is she's saying, no, there's not going to be intercourse tonight. So what I will do, I will assume responsibility for intercourse not happening. I will say to her, no, my pants are not coming off. Now, what I did by doing that is I assumed responsibility for intercourse not happening. I already know she doesn't want to do it, and I'm not going to violate that. But I'm still going to leverage the situation quite a bit, and I'm not going to mess with her pants. At that point, I know where we're at. And really, if it's the first time in the bedroom, I do not want it to go to intercourse, because what I want to do, I want to drive her fucking crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'm going to build up the emotional excitement. And if it's the third date, that I know after the second date, she went home and she masturbated. I know it. Absolutely positive. Now, while we're in the bedroom, we both have our pants on. Everything above the waist is off. But the pants are still on both of us. I'll tell her, no, my pants are not coming off. But I'm not going to go for her pants. What I'm going to do, take her right hand, and I'm going to slide it down her pants, and I'm going to say, I know what you did last night. That's right. You took this hand, and you put it right here, and I slide her hand down even farther into her pants, and I'll say, and you touched yourself right here, and you thought about what it would be like. What I'm doing, I'm going back to her fantasy the night before when she went home and masturbated, so I'm getting linked to the fantasy that she had about me. And what this does is it is very taboo for a woman to masturbate in front of a man. But I'm going to get her to do it in front of me, which opens her up to doing taboo things in front of me.
Exactly, especially if you make her comfortable with the situation and let her know how sexy it is, how turned on you get by it, and how it's a choice that both of you are making. Oh, that would work perfectly.
Okay. Outstanding.
Definitely. But you know what I do like? I do like the conversation after. When a guy says to me, you know, did you like that when I told you how fucking hot you were? Did you like when I played with your clit? Did you like when I teased you? And that gets me aroused to possibly have sex another time. But I like conversations like that. It gets me more comfortable with sexuality. It allows me to be heard. Because if I wasn't comfortable with something, I would think that that would be an open space to talk about it, saying, you know, I didn't like when you were talking dirty to me. I didn't like when you said this. But it just, again, creates a safe arena for a conversation about what both people want sexually.
I do agree with that. After the cuddling, because there's going to be cuddling and what I call post-coital rebonding, that there yes, comes the pillow
exactly.
talk. And I'll say to her, don't roll over and go to sleep on me. The most meaningful conversation happens right after. And then, yes, I will debrief her on a couple of things that I did. I will debrief her on a couple of things I did. But I will only touch on the critical points because I don't want her to feel interviewed.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Right. But if she opens up, I'll run with that. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We got into that direction because we were talking about challenges in the bedroom. Now, I am best on the spot. Can you give me an example in the bedroom where you noticed that the man was challenged and I would tell you how it would be dealt with?
Okay, well, you know what I actually don't like sometimes, and that I don't understand why men do this? For me, when I'm having face-to-face sex, I love that. When I want to be close, I like that somebody's looking at me, it makes it sexier, it makes me more turned on, and I get really into face-to-face time during sex, and I don't like when my partner says, oh, roll over. I don't like when suddenly it's like, okay, ooh, roll over. I feel like there's such a disconnect there between myself and my partner when he does that. And that's something that's coming from me as well. It's an insecurity because I'm thinking, oh, why don't you want to be close to me anymore? Instead of thinking, well, that position feels really good and we're doing things right now together that feel good for both of us. And that position feels great for me too. Doggy style feels great.
Why does it feel great?
Why does it feel great? Because he can stimulate my clit at the same time, and sometimes it just feels better because it's like resting against your G-spot easier. So that position feels better to me, but it's that second of him saying, I want to disconnect from you. That's what I think in my head. So then it sort of rewinds where I am sexually, so I can't get to the exact same place right away until I remember, oh yes, I forgot. This feels great for both of us, and that's why he
all right.
Roll over.
Let me comment on that. If in missionary, The woman is obviously enjoying the closeness. By the way, I love missionary myself because of the closeness. Now, if she's obviously enjoying the closeness and actually looking me right in the eyes, I will escalate that. Okay, she's loving this. She's loving the closeness. She's loving the eye contact. I will accelerate it, and I will escalate that. And what I'll tell her is I will insist that she continue to look into my eyes, and she continue to look into my eyes while she's coming, which is really hot. It's a real challenge, but again, I'm pushing her a little bit at a time to comply more, to do more of what I say, to push her sexuality even further. Always.
I like that. Well, actually, I received your videos, and my boyfriend will be watching them very soon.
Say that again?
I said, and my boyfriend will be watching them very soon.
All right. Outstanding.
So he'll learn that tactic. It will. It will eliminate that weirdness for both of us.
What weirdness?
The second where he asks me to roll over.
Oh, yeah. Have him talk to me. I'll tell him, don't do that. If she's enjoying something, leverage it. Go with it. Bring it a little bit farther.
Exactly.
You mentioned in doggy, you like that because the G-spot gets stimulated. Now, you love missionary because of the closeness, but what you like about doggy is the G-spot gets stimulated. Is that a spot that works for you?
Does the G-spot work for me? Yes, it's starting to. It hasn't always, but it's starting to. And again, that comes with me being more comfortable. But yeah, it's starting to.
Okay, absolutely. And again, it's a matter of becoming comfortable and being more in touch, on and on. Now, the last time we talked, you were out of town, but I had already sent you a number of my programs, and they were sent to your home where your man would receive it before you got home.
Yes.
And I told you that they had been delivered to your home. So you said, oh, I'm going to tell him to study up so he's all ready when I return.
Yes. So I called him right away, but he has a big event that he's leaving for on Sunday. So he's a producer, so he hasn't been able to watch the videos yet. But they're open, and they're in our living room, so he's going to be taking them.
Okay. My question that came into my head right away was, because you and I in that conversation, we're talking about women having vaginal orgasms in intercourse. It was right after that that you told him that he needs to study up. So my first thought was, ooh, you want him to learn what I teach men and how to give women vaginal orgasms.
Yes.
Bingo. Okay. Tell him you talked to me and I told him, go for the deep spot, dude. Yeah.
Okay. I'll pass that on
to him. Like you don't know what it means. You're just passing along guy code. Hey, I talked to David, and David said, go for the deep spot, dude. So I don't know what that means, but he said, go for the deep spot. Now, what he's going to do is he's going to look up in my program, Give Women Wild Screaming Orgasms, and he's going to learn about the deep spot, and it will work. Now, my advice is let him do his own studying. Do not get involved in it.
Exactly.
Do not make like you know that he's learning something new. Absolutely be responsive to him. Do not question him on how are the studies going.
How are those CDs going? Are you watching them? actually, after I did have the interview with you, I was at home visiting family and friends because I live in Los Angeles, and I had lunch with a couple of my guy friends, and I told them that I just had an interview with you, and they were both like, okay, well, you're going to give us those CDs, obviously, after you get them. So I said, of course, I'll point you in the direction where you can order your own set. But then they said, I would think it'd be really weird if my girlfriend ordered that for me. I think I'd be insulted. So it's good that I'm looking into it on my own. Because I think that for me, if I were to go out and buy that program for my boyfriend, I think it would make him really uncomfortable. But because it happened to be, you know, part of you and I working together, it was acceptable. So I will not go one step further and push him to watch those programs. And I will be completely responsive when I start noticing changes. But I would never push materials on him. That would be very uncomfortable.
Understandably, and that is a big concern of women. Now, my question is, those programs arrived at your house, and he brought them into the house. Now, how did you handle that? What were the words that you said to him? Is, oh, go ahead and read them while I'm out of town. I'll be home soon. What did you say to him?
That's pretty much what I said. This guy, David Shade, that I'm working with, sent me his free programs. You can look at it if you want. You don't have to. But I think it'd be interesting for the both of us to
bingo. I think it would be interesting for both of us to experiment. What I tell women when they ask me this question, how can I make him study without bruising his ego? What I tell the women is, say to him, I enjoy our sexuality so much that I would be interested in doing some experimenting. How about we get David Shade's material? I'm having fun with this. This is a lot of fun, and you're being a really good sport, Marnie. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. No, I love this. Trust me. I think that I said it last time, the more open you are, and the more information that you can put out there, the more others will follow and be comfortable with it as well. So.
Absolutely. And that's very true, that more people need to just be comfortable with sexuality. We are born sexual creatures, and we're going to enjoy ourselves a lot more if we just fucking be comfortable with it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Was that hot, that description of the man and the woman the first time they go in the bedroom where he basically makes her masturbate in front of him, is that hot? That's exciting for a woman.
It is, if they're comfortable with that. If not, it can be a very...
Right, it's a big chance that the guy takes.
Yeah. But the thing is that if the guy can be comfortable with her not being comfortable with it, then that opportunity will come up later and you'll be able to have that. But for me, who is at that point of being very comfortable sexually, yes, that would be a great experience. But for someone, and I have a lot of friends, who would not be comfortable with that experience right off the bat, it would be awkward and uncomfortable.
All right. Thank you. And you know what? It is kind of an elimination process, too, like my marketing manager, Craig, said. Sometimes you don't find out until you actually go in the bedroom. So very true. Because a man or a woman will become a completely different person once they go into the bedroom.
Yeah, but you're trying to increase the chances of having somebody comfortable with sexuality. So whether a woman is comfortable or not in the bedroom, a man still has to hold himself the same way. And again, if he can give her that safe space to experiment or to suddenly become comfortable sexually, then that's what's going to increase his chances of having something.
Right. He always must be comfortable with her either being comfortable or uncomfortable with the sexuality. Very good point. He must at all times demonstrate that he is completely comfortable with everything that happens, and thus he's calm, cool, collected, and confident. And yes,
exactly.
And then he can remain in a leadership position, and she can enjoy being sexually submissive. Now, are most women sexually submissive and enjoy the man taking the lead in the bedroom?
I can't really respond for most women, but the women that I've talked to, Yeah. They're open to being submissive again, as long as they get to make the choice to be submissive, which I know sort of throws submissive out the window, but as long as you still feel secure and safe, the women that I've talked to are comfortable with it. And myself.
Yes, the woman has to feel safe, but she also has to feel that she is in control. But my interpretation of a woman being in control is that at any time she can object and it will be accepted. So when a woman is in control, it's not that she's leading, it's that at any time she can change the direction and it not be held against her.
Oh, that's exactly it. Yeah, that was a really great way of putting it.
Well, thank you. Let's go into the standard battery of questions. The last time you and I talked, we talked about the magnetic power that bad boys have when a woman first meets him. But I do know that in a relationship, in sexuality, the bad boys are extremely powerful and extremely addictive. What is the power that the bad boys have in the bedroom?
It's the same power they have outside of the bedroom. It's the fact is that a lot of people who are bad boys, they are concerned with themselves more so than with a woman. But in the very beginning, that type of behavior is seen as someone who is self-assured, confident, respects themselves, controlled, comfortable, cool, everything that I've described women like. And that's why women are attracted to them. Later on down the road, when they end up becoming actual jerks and complete bad boys who don't care for a woman's feelings, who have no respect for anybody aside from themselves, then women just become too addicted to them because they want to be able to change them, not because they think that they're a great example of the male specimen.
Women want to change him. Yes, they want to save him. They want to
exactly and be and be that woman who changes.
Yeah, that tames the jerk. Yeah. What?
It doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't. No.
If you're an asshole, you're an asshole. That's basically it. So the woman has to decide whether or not she wants to deal with an asshole and that type of energy. But those are choices.
But by then, she's already addicted to the sex because he is very comfortable with driving her, leading her sexually and making her do taboo things. And she has powerful emotional and sexual feelings in the bedroom. And he is very much a sexual threat to her, but she becomes addicted to it.
Yeah, she could become addicted to it. But I think ultimately that behavior long term of him being an asshole outside of the bedroom can affect her sexually in the bedroom, because she'll carry over that baggage into their sex life. So ultimately, it makes bad sense.
Okay. Absolutely, what the man does outside of the bedroom is very important. Like an ex-girlfriend of mine told me once, it is the man you are outside of the bedroom that allows me to be the woman that I want to be in the bedroom.
Oh, these are great sayings from people. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I agree with that 100%.
All right, the classic question. Men are very self-conscious about this. Does size matter?
Does size matter? I'm going to have to say no on that one. I don't think that it matters. It's quality, not quantity. It's what you're able to do with it. I think I told you in the interview before, I've been with a wide spectrum. And a lot of guys who do have large penises just think because they have a large penis that it's going to be fantastic. But if they don't work it properly, then it's not going to be anything.
All right. What about men with less than substantial size? All right. What do they compensate for it by being creative? What's the deal?
Do they compensate for it? Yes, if they can compensate for it and not let the fact that they have a smaller penis make them self-conscious and insecure, then as we've been describing this entire conversation, men can do so many more things that don't have to do with their penis.
All right. Women have told me that when the guy takes the pants off, they said they get really turned on if it's big, and they get really disappointed if it's not. Does that happen?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Okay. But ultimately, it's going to be a matter of what does he actually make her feel with what he is equipped with.
Exactly. And I'll say it's similar to when women meet attractive men. If they meet an attractive man, he starts probably at a 10, mm-hmm. right? Let's just say. But as soon as he opens his mouth, if his personality isn't equal to his looks, he becomes more disappointing to her. Because she's like, oh, great. Like, this attractive guy is absolutely nothing. Like, he can make one stupid comment and he can shoot himself down to being a 5 very quickly. Whereas a man who is less attractive can surprise you.
And what are some of the things that they do to surprise you? What is impressive that a man does in a relationship in a sexual context to surprise you and impress you?
Well, it's being able to be comfortable sexually and being confident sexually. You may have a small penis, but you may know that you can do a lot of things with that penis. You may know how to pleasure a woman without even using your penis. You may have magical fingers. You may have a magical tongue. There's a lot of things that you can do sexually that are not centered around a large penis.
Now, please tell me, how can people connect with you and what is your website?
It is winggirlmethod.com. So winggirlmethod.com. They can go onto the site. They can read our blogs. There's tons of free materials on there. There's also a virtual Wing Girl service, which I'm just starting to add right now. And it's a monthly service where people can ask me questions 24 hours a day and get a response within 24 hours about everything and anything female. And as you can tell from this phone call, I am extremely open and honest. I don't pass judgment at all because, again, I believe that information makes you a stronger person. And if people are uncomfortable, then I can't really assist them. And vice versa, if I'm uncomfortable with anything that you're asking, I can't assist you. So I'm very open to everything and anything.
Absolutely. We have talked before about your winggirlmethod.com, and you have a number of women working for you all over the world, and you men yes. out into the field. You work with them with their interactions with women. You have a number of programs that help men to be better at attraction, relating to women, on and on and on. And I am very proud to tell my clients about your programs, and I'm sure that they are going to enjoy them. And I must say, I really enjoyed this conversation, Marnie. I really appreciate you being a good sport. You've been wonderful. Thank you very much for talking to us today.
Well, thank you. I've had a great time. Thanks.